Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another live edition of Sports Blogger Radio, coming to you live from the surface of the sun. I am your host, John Leary, and with me is always Scott Sharknado Blooney.
Hey, Sharknado is a great movie.
That movie was terrible. No, okay, we're going to be talking about the Boston Red Sox first half. Well, I don't know why that sounded like I was asking a question. I have no idea. We're also going to be talking about why we don't like the Pro Bowls, the All-Stars, All-Star games, why we think they're a waste of time.
It's a waste of time.
We're going to be talking about the ESPN SB Awards last night. And from there on, we're going to, open it up to the listeners so they can call in if they'd like. And, of course, the most popular segment anybody's ever done on this show.
Ever.
On this show. Ass Hat of the Week. Scott, how's life treating you, my friend?
Oh.
What's up, man?
Well, for those of you who don't know, I work a real job, sort of.
Yeah. No, not a real job, but that's okay.
It's an internship. I'm a college kid. It's an internship. I work about an hour and a half away from my house, and I'm feeling kind of frustrated today because it took me 3 hours to get home through Boston because, little known fact about Boston, at any given time, every single left or right lane is closed. So it's always really congested.
With that being said, if we seem a little off tonight, you know why. We didn't really have a whole lot of time to prepare, so we're going to do our best and, hopefully give you an entertaining show.
We always do.
You know, the only way we know how, basically.
Yeah, also other little known sports blog of trivia. And I'm going back to last year. For those of you who are just starting to listen to the show or have been listening and kind of don't really know us that well. The whole sports blogger thing, it happened last summer, about a year ago from now.
Yes, the infamous duo was born.
Yeah.
What you're about to say.
So John, I noticed him on Twitter and he was looking for bloggers, or I don't know, maybe I asked him, yo, do you need a blogger? And
It started out basically, we're going to give you a little background seeing as if, kind of so people can understand us on maybe on a personal level. So Sports Blogger started out in April of 2011 as a little hobby of mine that I decided to go ahead and do. Everybody was telling me, hey, why don't you write, articles because you always talk sports and stuff. Now, I technically don't have any background in this business, but
Not as do most sports bloggers, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, you take a passion, you take what you like, and you go ahead and write about it. So
yeah.
I figured, hey, what the heck, I can do that. So, I went ahead and did it. I had a couple friends join me on there. Unfortunately, they couldn't, do it as much as they would like. So, the busy lives. So my search started, and I went around and started asking, shooting things on, Twitter, and lo and behold, my co-host here, Scott Blooney, got back to me, and he says, I'm a college student, as he likes to say on this show many times, and I'm looking to write for a blog as extra credit. So I said, send me a piece. He sent me this really bad piece, and I liked it anyway.
That's bull. I sent you a piece. What did I send you? I sent you something about, I think our first post is about that tight end.
Your first post was about Jake Ballard, actually.
Yeah, about how pissed Coughlin was about that.
Yes, and Bill Belichick stole him. So it was actually a really good article.
Yeah, that was a good article. Damn right.
I know. So it was a really good article, and thus the rest was history. We ended up getting a wonderful opportunity with Jonathan Ragus, our, I'd like to say, mentor, if you'd like. And he gave us a
Obi-Wan.
Yes, he's our Obi-Wan to our Luke, and gave us a shot, and here we are. So that's a quick background on what we're kind of about,
Last weekend was the first time that me and John actually met and sat down and enjoyed had a beer and talked, and it was pretty cool. So it's cool to see how all the aspiring sports bloggers and stuff like that, internet, Twitter is a pretty cool tool, Facebook's a pretty cool tool, and it brings people together. Me and John are real close friends now.
Yes, he's experienced my entire family in all their glory.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. We had Jello shots. It was a great time.
Yes, we had a great time. So,
but Scott, anyway.
Yes, now that we've gone.
Now you know us. Now we're your friends. All right.
Listen to us every week now because you love us.
Do it. Yes.
All right. So the first half of the Red Sox season obviously was completely a surprise. They completely surpassed anything I thought they were going to do so far. You know, were they 19 games in total first? I think I want to say. I'm not 100% sure, but I mean, they're putting on a show right now, and man, it's looking pretty good. What do you think?
I mean, they have the best record in baseball right now. And I don't think that we were talking about this. We keep on harping back to this that, like, we never thought, you know, with the whole Valentine fiasco last year and then coming into this year, you know, without, you know, some of our big guns. I guess Crawford was never a big gun, but without Adrian Gonzalez, people were kind of skeptical about, and, you know, Jacoby Ellsbury's health in question and a lot of stuff in question. People were skeptical about, you know, how they're going to perform this year. And I was just like, I think they'll be around 500. Like,
well, that's, I mean, I think I went on record at some point in stating that, you know, I see them at like an 80 game team, you know, but around 500. And I thought, and like I said, this is only the first half. So I expected, you know, Baltimore and Toronto to be lightening up the scoreboards and stuff. But everyone thought
that.
Yeah. And in actuality, they, you know, boy, I mean, the Red Sox are just playing. They're playing like a team that has a mission. And I like that. They're a very, very likable team. You can definitely get behind these guys. You know, I said it 1,000 times. They really, really do remind me of the 2004 Boston Red Sox.
A lot of character. You can tell that the chemistry. I feel like, I don't know what it was, because I was so excited about Bobby Valentine being signed, but it seems like he kind of inhibited or, like, stopped.
I think he set the he set the table at, this is everything we're not going to be.
But I think that disabled some of the team chemistry that's happening now. I think that I 100% you see what the difference is. It's in the manager position. John Farrell, like, bravo, dude. Like,
absolutely.
Your team has the best record in baseball and has silenced, like, every skeptic of you. And they have, you know, they have a 31-16 home record, which is, like, I think that's the best in the MLB right now. And their record is, you know, they're 58-39. They have a basically 60% winning percentage. They're playing phenomenal baseball right now.
They are. I think if you really honestly, if you kind of want to go back into the history, just in the past couple of years, the Boston Red Sox had a similar record in 2006 with Tito Francona and ended up blowing it. And I don't know if you remember that, Scott, but they ended up blowing. They had like a 20-game lead, basically. It was pretty close. I mean, what are they on? Like 19? I keep thinking 19. I don't know why. But either way, it doesn't really matter. But they had a similar record in 2006, and they were really looking good. And, of course, they blew it come, you know, September. But, you know, you got a couple guys on this lineup that are playing really, really well. I mean, Dustin Pedroia is obviously, you know, he's been probably the most consistent player since he's been here.
I agree with you on that one. Consistency is
he's
definitely
very, very consistent. He's always around the same marks that he is every year. He might be a little less in the home run department this year, but
And he's always his biggest critic is himself. He doesn't blame anyone else for his trouble.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's a
self motivated guy. He's good.
He's a very self motivated guy. I mean, he's already won a World Series, but that has yet to stop him. He wants to win more and more, and I like that. That's exactly what this team needs: is someone to be like, no, that's not good enough. You know, drive harder. There's a couple surprising names on here that I'd like to bring out to you, and probably the first one, John Lackey.
Yeah.
he hasn't given up more than two runs in his past like six or seven starts, I want to say. And you can't, I mean, wow. He reminds me of the 2005 John Lackey, you know, when he was dominating on the, you know, the western half, you know what I mean? And I like it. And I did state this at the beginning of the year that I thought John Lackey was going to be the one to make a break. You know, he had a lot to prove this year, and so far so good. I mean, he's coming off a couple surgeries, had a couple injuries, but it seems like he finally kind of got things together. I like it. Maybe for the first time in his Red Sox career, he's actually starting to earn the money that he was given.
I just want to go on John Lackey. I just want to read a couple stats that I have right here. John Lackey is getting a higher percentage of swings and misses, 9.7%, than any season since 2005, which was 10.6%. According to BrooksBaseball.net, the average velocity of his four-seam is 93.37 miles an hour in the month of July. And that, you know,
he's
only exceeded that average velocity once since the start of the 2007 season. So he's playing, like you said, like he played 2005.
Right. Now, I don't know, and maybe the listeners can correct me on this, but I believe in 2007, that's the year he won MVP.
I
might be wrong. I might be right. I have no idea. Like I said, if listeners out there, if you know, let us know. A couple of other guys, I mean, Jared Saltamacchia, you know, Salty, the Salty kid. He's got an on-base percentage slugging of, you know, .806. He's really opening some eyes. He finally, you know, after getting over his, you know, I can't throw to home to the pitcher's mound, psyche. Once he got past that, he's a really solid catcher.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard to find. This is a league where there's not a lot of offensive-minded catchers. I mean, you got Joe Mauer, and that's like...
That's about it. I mean...
What's that guy up in San Francisco? What's his name? You know, he's a guy, too. He's good. That catcher. I forget his name off the top of my head. But, yeah, I should know that. But anyway...
That's all right.
But anyway, yeah, Jared Saltamacchia ranks second in slugging percentage, like you said, OPS, just after Joe Mauer. So... Saltamacchia playing, you know, second to Joe Mauer. That's real impressive. He's underrated right now.
Oh, absolutely. And so, that's, I don't mind the fact that he's underrated, because that just makes it, you know, that makes it better for us, because, you know what I mean? Like, when you're an underrated player like that, you tend to play harder.
Yeah, you know? He's really, I think that, you know, I think we saw glimpses of it last season. I think we saw glimpses of how good he could be, because he was coming up clutch at a lot of, like, I remember that one time, didn't he hit, like, two or three, like, walk-ups in a matter of, like, 2 weeks or something like that?
There
was one crazy week for him, and you just saw how he could be a clutch hitter. And
well, that's the thing. I mean, Salty, he's got this thing where Theo Epstein, he always wanted Saltamacchia. He, you know, constantly looking away to try to get him, and finally when they did, you know, a lot of people were very like, why are you signing this guy? This guy's a head case. You know, he can't throw the pitches around this and that. But now you see the reason why. You see the reason why this guy is, you know, basically our top catcher. He calls a pretty good game. I wouldn't say he's on the Jason Varitek level, but he calls a pretty good game. And, you know, when he hits, he can show you the power that he has. So he's definitely turning some heads, and that's a good thing.
Saltamacchia, Lackey, and one other guy I'd like to talk about before we start talking about what we haven't like our red flags.
Sure.
Is Jacoby Ellsbury, and he started off real slow. Through his first 44 games, he had a .241 average, you know, a .303 on base percentage. His slugging wasn't very good.
Right.
You know, since then. In his last 44 games, he's got a .371 average and scored 35 runs, stolen 23 bases on 24 attempts.
Here's my question. How is this guy not an all-star? You know what I mean?
You know, I think it's because it was a little bit inconsistent, but something has definitely turned on, and, you know, first of all, he's got nasty legs.
I want to say, 2010? him and Carl Crawford were going back and forth for the most stolen bases in the American League. And I believe, actually, Jacoby Ellsbury ended up pulling it out and taking it by, like, two bases or something like that. But, you know, the thing I noticed with Jacoby Ellsbury, and, you know, most people would probably say, hey, that's kind of a promising sign, this and that. And, I mean, he is on a 20-something game hit streak, I believe. The thing I don't really like about it is he's going to be a free agent and he's clearly playing for a contract, which he will deserve, but he's not going to deserve the money that some team's going to give him. I'm sorry, you know, Pink Hat Nation out there. He will not be a Boston Red Sox next year. He will be on some other team. Some team's going to pay him some ridiculous contract. So I actually look at this as being a negative as opposed to a positive, even though he's helping the team win.
If he can win the championship this year and he helps, I mean, I'm already thinking World Series right now because Sox looking like they want to win. Looking real good right now.
Well, you heard it first, people. You're saying that.
Well, I'm just saying. I'm saying we could make it's, you know, after last season, just dealing with the constant Valentine press headache, it's nice to see they're not, like, we haven't talked about them in so long because they're doing everything they're supposed to do. They're winning. They're not being idiots. They're not eating chicken and drinking beer in the whatever. So, you know, it's good. They're playing well. Some of the red flags that I've been seeing is let's start with Buckholz. We were talking about Cy Young.
We were talking about Cy Young at the beginning of this season. And I believe he still has a 6-0 record or something like that. But I mean, if you look at tonight as being kind of an example of what we're talking about, Clay Buckholz, he hasn't thrown a pitch in a game since June 8th. It is now
June 18th. He's 9-0.
You know what I mean? Yeah, he's 9-0. Exactly my point. You know, it's now July 18th, and he was gonna try to pitch tonight, and they sat him down because of his shoulder being tight or something like that. That states your shoulder's tight because you haven't been doing your exercises. You haven't been, you know, throwing bullpen things, you know, sessions. You know, if your shoulder's starting to tight up, then we have a problem here.
Yeah, Clay Buckholz has only thrown 12 innings since May 22nd.
Yes, exactly.
Like, road to recovery, maybe, but we've heard that before. Like,
right. And, I mean, he's totally gone on record and stated that, you know, he wants to he wants to come back 100%. He wants to, you know, be there for the guys in September and stuff like that. And I get that. I respect that. But you know what, man? You're supposed to be an ace. Get on the mound and start acting like it. If you have to play through a couple injuries, you know, come on. Time to buck up, buddy. You know, I mean, I still believe you have Dustin Pedroia playing with a broken finger. He's been dealing with it since the beginning of the year. And he still goes out every game. Why can't you? You know, that's just me stating that out there. I don't, you know, other people might disagree, and he is a pitcher, so his arms are everything, and I get that, but, you know, come on with it.
Mike Napoli, over the last 2 months since May 15th, Mike Napoli has had the lowest slugging percentage, .380, of any Sox player with at least 40 plate appearances.
Yeah.
He's had 4 home runs since then, but he had 7 home runs.
Yeah, well,
slugging .523 in the team's first 39 games. So you can see there's a stark contrast there.
There is, but you know what, though? I mean, it is becoming the middle of the season, and Mike Napoli has always been the type of player to kind of cool off when the All-Star break came around and stuff. So this is just the way he is. I don't think that he's going to shrivel up and not be able to hit the ball anymore, because this guy, you know, willing that they get into the playoffs, Mike Napoli is going to be a beast. He always is a beast in the playoffs. I mean, I don't know how many times when he was on the Angels, he would
Rangers.
Well, I believe he played with the Angels for a while, didn't he?
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
He used to smoke the ball a lot. So, you know, of course, you're right. When he was on the Rangers, he did the same as well. And he
Rangers
kept doing
the beast.
What's that?
I remember I had him on my fantasy team when he was on the Rangers, and he was a beast. That's all.
Yeah, he was, and that's the thing. Like, I don't expect him to stay in this little bit of a slump that he's in right now. I mean, 380 isn't too bad. I mean, it's not great. But,
not great.
But
yeah, for a guy who should be, you know, hitting the long ball pretty good, not great.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And then Koji Uehara, he has been, like, he was an all-star write-in candidate. Like, he's, first of all, though, just to set the record straight with Koji Uehara, I hope I'm not butchering his last name. I can never pronounce it.
You probably are, but that's just the way we are.
He's 38 years old. People don't realize that. You know, he's got a 1.7 ERA with 8 saves, 60 strikeouts. He's got a 0.76 walks and hits per innings pitched.
Right.
He's already made more appearances and pitched more innings than he did last year, the whole season, for Texas.
No, well, not to mention that his natural position is not a closer.
Oh yeah, he's,
you know, he got put into a closer role because our two closers that we had had, you know, couldn't cut it.
Hanrahan was a bust.
Hanrahan, the thing, he started out so strong. He was so promising, and, you know, he was a bust. You know, granted, I know, I get it, injuries happen, stuff like that, but...
maybe next year he'll make the lackey return.
Maybe. Who knows? I mean, I had a lot of faith in that guy coming in for the season. I expected him to be a lot better than what he was. And then, of course, you have, what the heck is his name? I can't remember his name because he was always on the DL.
Aceves?
No, not Aceves.
He sucked. Oh, what's his name? The younger guy.
Andrew Bailey.
Yeah, he is.
Andrew Bailey, yes.
No more Andrew Bailey. I'm done with that guy.
I've been done with him for a while.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That guy's a freaking head case. If we're going to talk about head cases, that's a great place to start.
I mean, he can't stay healthy. He hasn't been able to stay healthy.
He also can't. He breaks down so easy.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Well, I mean, another guy that we're looking at is Jose Iglesias. Now, I don't agree with this being on, you know, him being on the red flag list, only because he is still kind of a rookie.
Not only that, but no one expected that. No one expected his, like, 400 average.
Yeah, I mean,
the whole season, like,
well, that's it. You had a guy that was coming into Boston, basically, that couldn't hit major league pitching, excuse me. But he did, exactly. So anything you get from him is pretty much a win-win, I say.
I see that. I agree with you. I do.
You know, I mean, thing is, plus the, with Will Middlebrooks being out and everything like that, I mean, yeah, I mean, Jose Iglesias, you know, obviously he's playing shortstop for Stephen Drew, who, you know, he's also kind of a bust. But, you know, that guy, I mean, he's in the Drew family, so you know he's going to have some sort of injury problem. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think that Jose Iglesias is that big of a bust or on the decline. I mean, he is.
The fact that we got so much of him is more than we bargained for, and anything else is just, you know, it's great.
Absolutely. I fully agree. Fully agree.
But, you know, at least, you know, and then we got Big Poppy and Dustin Pedroia and Clay Buchholz, who is an all-star, but not really an all-star. You know, and I don't know about you. I didn't even watch the all-star game. I watched some of the home run derby. I didn't watch any of the all-star game. Did you?
Well, no. See, here's the thing. I'll state this for all the All-Star Pro Bowls or whatever. To me, the only things that interest me are the home run derby, the NBA skills competition, the dunk contest, the the NHL skills competition. Not a single thing interests me in the Pro Bowl. I could care less about any of that stuff that goes on. They usually put it on. They tried to put it on before the Super Bowl to try to catch people, and it's got even worse ratings than it did before.
I was looking this up. The All-Star game got tied a record low for last year's MLB ratings in terms of TV ratings. It just no one cares because it doesn't mean anything. Like
it doesn't mean anything. I mean, what they say, oh well, you know, it just means home field advantage for the, you know, American League or the National League. But you know what? What does that matter? You're gonna end up playing. You're gonna play the stadiums anyways. You know what I mean? Like this year, there's probably about one thing from this year's All-Star that I will take away that I, you know, I had a lot of respect for. And that was basically, Mariano Rivera. How come I can never say his last name? Rivera.
Yeah.
He's going to be retiring this year.
He's a class act.
He's a class act. And, you know, pretty much everybody in that stadium gave him a standing O, and he's well-deserved. He got the MVP. That, to me, states ultimate class from everybody across the board. Well-deserving of that. But would it take me to tune in to see that? No. I can watch the highlights.
So, for you, if you were a commissioner and you're saying, how can I get people interested in All-Star games again, what would you do?
Well, I mean, first of all, there's too many games, there's too many players. I honestly feel that if they really wanted to do it, then you take the best player, you know, best all-around player from each team, and you put them in, and that's about it. Like, you let them play the game if that's what they want to do.
And it's not like shuffling and people don't play and people, you know.
Right. I mean, like, to me... What would be the point of getting, you know, selected for the All-Star game and you don't play a single inning or down or anything like that? You're just there. Now, some people that actually go to these events may be paying to see that particular player and they don't get to see that particular player play. And I think that's just a waste. You know what
I do? You know NHL 24/7?
Absolutely.
I would mic up a bunch of players. I'd put GoPros on players. I'd make it all like web-based, and I'd be able. You can see
fan interactive.
You can hear what your players want to say. It's a game that doesn't really matter. I mean, home field advantage. All right, maybe home ice advantage matters in the playoffs. Maybe in hockey and basketball or home court advantage.
That's the thing. I mean, it doesn't.
Not baseball though.
No, not in baseball. The thing in hockey doesn't make much sense either because it goes to the team that has the best record out of the two. So,
yeah, it's something, but, you know, just – I think that, you know, something that the NHL has been doing for a little while that I like is that, like, with the – well, besides the NHL 24/7, which is an HBO show, it's like paper – it's not pay-per-view. It's an HBO show, and, you know, you watch it, and it's like a kind of – there's no filter. You hear everyone, like, cussing around. You hear fights. You hear players are mic'd up all the time.
Well, yeah, you hear it like the sports
yeah.
supposed to be heard.
And I think that if you change the All-Star game from a pretty meaningless, you know, BS game to like, hey, this is – we're going to be airing the All-Star game. You know, it's going to be for mature – like maybe for mature audiences or I don't know how they're going to do it. But we're going to mic up a bunch of our players. We're going to hear them talking to the coaches, other players. You're going to hear the game. And maybe you can choose online which player you're following around because, you know, as of right now, I have no interest in watching All-Star games because, like, half of them don't – I mean, none of them mean anything. The NFL All-Star game doesn't mean jack crap. You know, it's right before the Super Bowl. People don't even – like, most of the players don't even play in it that are drafted or
right.
are
well,
honored.
I mean, like, see, I've always had – I mean, this kind of goes to the whole, you know, MLB All-Star. Like, why can't they do some sort of, like, Winter Classic type of
style?
Granted, I know that, you know, every stadium puts a bid in for them to, you know, for the All-Star to be hosted at their thing. But how about you take kind of like the original, kind of like what they do, like I said, in the NHL, where they take, you know, original six teams and, you know, kind of mix it up with other teams and they make it like an event and it's like special. And why can't they do that with baseball? Why can't they take...
You're asking me. You should be talking to the commissioners. I think that right now just it's meaningless. I mean, you see it the ratings. You know, when you're competing with ratings, with whose line is it anyway? Like,
yeah.
like, and that's like, honestly, people 2.9 million viewers watched Whose Line Is It Anyway the same night as the MLB All-Star Game because no one gives a crap.
And that's the thing. I mean, you can't.
It's like you can't
you know commercialize it any more than you already have. It's obviously not working. It's obviously not bringing in any type of extra audiences. I mean, especially, I think the biggest thing is you have a lot of interleague play now, and the interleague play brings a lot of players that you wouldn't normally see to your stadium. You know, every couple of years, you get a different team, and you know, hey, I get to see Tim Lincecum come today. You know, I'm just stoked about that. It's, you know, back in the day, the All-Star game was so, you know, you would go there so you could see a player that you liked but never really got a chance to see. It's not like that anymore.
So here's something I just pulled up when we're talking about this. It's from NBCSports.com. The title is NFL Considers Making the Pro Bowl, quote-unquote, more like a game show.
What?
So they're trying to consider elements that would make the game more like a game show. They're going to have incentives paid out during the game. They're going to, like, give away stuff, I guess. They're going to make it so every minute of the game, there's some sort of
engagement. Okay.
So that
makes sense because you're interacting with fans, and if fans want, like, swag or they want to win a chance to win something, they're going to tune in. I mean, who the heck doesn't want to win something, you know?
And you know what? If you're making, you know, players the incentive to play on the Pro Bowl team, if you're making it like they're talking about how there's a $25,000 winning incentive, but they're making it like $50,000 now, that might, you know, inspire the players to actually play with some, you know, some inspiration.
I mean, if you look at the Pro Bowl, like what are the scores? Or like 70 to like 60? All, you know what I mean? Like something ridiculous.
So I'm just saying, because in the past 5 years, like, what memorable, like, what all-star moments have been memorable to you? The only one that I can think of, excuse me, was Phil Kessel getting chosen last and getting the car. That's the only one I can, because the NHL just started doing, they don't do East-West, they do draft now.
They can pick the captains,
and they just draft, you know.
Right, exactly. And it's generally the two captains are generally the captains from the
one year it was Zdeno Chara and the other, and it was
Dean
or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they were the Stanley Cup final teams. That's why they usually, you know, they carry over for the next year. I believe this upcoming year, you'll see Taze and you'll see Zdeno Chara, you know, doing the draft, which is cool. You know, I do. Like I said, it makes it
because, I mean, I play NHL and the most of the time I'm just drafting fantasy teams and seeing how unfair I can make the game so I win. and because, you know, it's awesome. But yeah, that's kind of interesting to see a draft and to see emotion on players' faces and to see how they react to certain drafts. I don't know. But like the way that the All-Star games, like, you know, home run derby. Okay, fine. I'll watch that. And I'll watch the hot dog eating contest. Cause that's so cool. but it is like that dude, I forget what his name, I think his name is, what's his name? Like Joe or something like that.
I have no idea. Contest.
That guy like puts down 60 hot dogs. Joey Chestnut, that's the guy, puts out like 60 hot dogs. It's ridiculous. It's so gross. But that's why I look forward to the MLB All-Star game. I look forward to the hot dog game contest. It's just,
wow.
All-Star games in general just need a major reboot.
Absolutely. I do agree with that. I mean, across the board. All right. Yes. The ESPN SB Awards were last night. And
I'll give you a hint about who won everything.
Can I just say that ESPN, get off LeBron. Just get off him. That's all I'm saying. Like,
wait, so best male athlete goes to LeBron James. Best championship performance goes to LeBron James. Best team goes to Miami Heat. Where else is LeBron James? Best NBA player, LeBron James. You know, it's – what is that? That's three right there. He's involved in.
Yep.
You know, it's
– I get it. You know, LeBron James, he's a great basketball player. You know, all right, enough. I mean, how many more times can you, say this guy's name?
Best male athlete.
Who? Okay, tell me who were the nominations.
I got you right here. Best male athlete. Miguel Cabrera, Detroit Tigers.
Yep.
Adrian Peterson. I would have voted Adrian Peterson over, or Michael Phelps.
Well, just, who else is there?
Miguel Cabrera, LeBron James, Adrian Peterson, Michael Phelps.
I mean, it's a clear cut. And Michael Phelps, I mean, he's old, you know, guys
won
a star athlete.
Won four goals, two silvers. You know, he's the first man to win the same individual swimming event in three straight Olympics. Adrian Peterson, he rushed for over 2,000 yards, second most in league. He rushed for, 2,097 yards, second most in league history. Averaged 6 yards per carry, had 13 touchdowns, and caught 40 passes. Like, okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Exactly. But
Miguel Cabrera was the first player to win the Triple Crown in baseball since 1967.
Carlos
Miguel Cabrera.
No, but you know, the last one was to do it was Yaz, right?
That was way before I was born. I have no idea.
Oh, jeez. All right, well, hey, we got a phone call, so we're going to go ahead and answer that.
All right.
Hello, you're on Sports Blogger Radio. Hello. Okay. All right, I guess he's not on Sports Blogger Radio.
He's not. He thought he was, but he was mistaken. Maybe he'll call back. We never know.
Yeah, call back.
Or try to call back.
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing is, Adrian Peterson, you know, he also came off an ACL injury, too, you know, so he's...
Yeah, Derek Rose, take notice, dude.
Yeah, God.
All right, and then, so that was, my first impression was just seeing LeBron up there with his stupid hipster glasses. I mean, I already hate LeBron enough being a Celtics fan, but just seeing him, like, literally win everything and everything.
He's calling back. All right.
Let's see if it works this time.
All right. Hello. You're on Sports Blogger Radio.
Hey, guys. Sorry. Something happened to my phone on that one. I don't really know what happened. Sorry about that.
No worries.
I had to talk about the ESPYs and how horrific that was. It was just so unfunny. I usually look for the ESPYs to be funny, but I just thought that was awful. The Jay-Z thing was awful, and there were a couple other things, and the whole LeBron Miami Heat thing was just ridiculous. I couldn't.
Yeah, absolutely. It's completely ridiculous to me because they focus so much on their breadwinners. How many more times are you going to hear LeBron James, Miami Heat? How many more times are you going to hear about, you know? God, I don't even know. I mean, I don't really hear him talking about too much.
You know what? And I want to just say, John Hamm is not funny. John Hamm was decidedly not funny. And it was like, I don't know, it was kind of like watching a train crash in slow motion. Because, like, I saw what were supposed to be jokes, and they weren't jokes.
No, it was actually kind of awkward to be watching.
What's that?
Did you see the Putin thing when they made fun of Vladimir Putin and stealing Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring?
No, but I wish I did. Actually, John and I were actually watching it together. But no, we watched it for about what, like 15 minutes.
Worst 15 minutes. I would actually watch Sharknado all over again.
I watched. There was nothing on last night. No.
Sharknado, dude. If you go onto on demand, watch Sharknado. It's a great movie.
Yeah, I heard about that. I'm not really big into the whole flying sharks.
I tell you what, man, neither am I, and it's definitely an experience. You'll have to watch it just because it's the most ridiculous thing you have ever seen in your
entire life. It's better than the ESPYs. It's more funny than the ESPYs. It's way more
funny. The whole worst part of the ESPYs was when LeBron gave Ray Allen this weird little handshake that just made me sick. Made me want to throw up in my mouth. Couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe they're actually that big of boys. It just shocks me that Ray Allen would go that far, but, you know, whatever.
It's an absolute disgrace to all of us Celtics fans, man. Straight up.
Yeah,
Rondo's not going there.
Yeah, Rondo, I love him. You heard what he said, John. He said, "I will never play for the Heat."
Good for him.
Like you know that him and Ray Allen had differences. That's part of the reason why Ray Allen supposedly the reason why Ray Allen left, because he was, you know, bumping heads with Rajon Rondo, and you can clearly see where Rondo's devotion lies.
So let me real quick. Is this Andrew, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Andrew, what's going on, dude?
Hey, how you doing?
Not much. I'm doing
well. Let me ask you something real quick, just because it's, you know, it happened today. How did you feel seeing Paul Pierce hold up that Brooklyn Nets jersey, man?
Broke my heart. Me and my little brother were watching the whole press conference, just sitting there like, it's really over. You know, the end of an era, the end of one of, you know, the most popular eras in Celtics history. Just crazy. I couldn't believe it. Today was like, you know,
I was obviously at work, so I couldn't remember actually watching. But watching the highlights and seeing Paul Pierce actually talk about his time, you know, being over with the Celtics, you could tell how emotional he was. He really did not want to go.
The funniest thing was how they said, Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce said about four times that you know, I would have loved to retire in Boston. Every time I heard that, it hurt more. Like, oh, you know what, these guys really wanted to be here, but they didn't, you know, we're trying to rebuild. We're trying to make a new team, trying to be better, you know. I agree with your decision, but.
You can't blame the Celtics for making the move that they did. At the same time, it sucks that they had to make that decision.
Well, that's it. I mean, you had your longtime franchise player and your other, you know, franchise player basically, and they would have bled green, man. And it's, but like, you know, like they said, and like a lot of us said, you know, Scott and I, we talked about it. It was time. It needed to happen. It's sad, but I would much rather see Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett go to a team that they could possibly win maybe another championship with than stick with a team that's trying to rebuild. That's just my opinion.
I do want to say there was one thing I really loved. I'm sorry, I can't even deal with the – because I just pulled up a picture of them holding up their Nets jerseys. By the way, when those three guys, you know, including Chris Humphries, were holding up their Celtics jerseys, they looked miserable. You know, they couldn't even they couldn't even fake a smile. You know, it's ridiculous, these guys. But whatever, the draft picks is where the real money is. But I just want to say one thing about the ESPYs while we're still on it. There was one really good part of the ESPYs that I enjoyed watching.
Yeah,
that was the Jack Hoffman when he got best moment. First of all, that kid was terrified, and I don't blame him because he's in front of like all of his heroes. He's in front of, like, you know, he was taking a picture of the Johnny Manziel before the, you know, the awards. For those of you who don't know, he was a 7-year-old diehard Cornhusker fan, Nebraska football, and he's battling brain cancer. And he I don't know how this happened exactly, but he was invited to participate in the Husker spring game, and he ran for a really long touchdown, and all the players, you know, they gave him his blocks, and he ran it in for the fourth quarter, up on the quarterback's shoulders, and it was like, oh, man, awesome feel-good moment. And, like, he won last night, and it was really cool. That was
good. That was very good.
One of those moments that transcends sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely, I totally agree.
Well, all right, Andrew. That Robin Roberts thing was awesome. So.
Yeah. That was
good. All right, Andrew, thank you so much for calling in, buddy. Doing a great job, by the way. Thanks for all the posts.
Yeah, thank you.
Later, bud.
All right, take it. That kid's awesome.
he's one of our new contributors, by the way. So
Andrew Walden, man. Read his post. The kid knows his stuff, so he's got some good stuff going on. ESPYs.
ESPYs. I mean, basically, what I got out of it is that everyone loves LeBron James.
Yeah.
For some reason, Sidney Crosby got best hockey player. I don't agree with that at all.
Not this year, at least.
No, he got it.
No, I'm saying, like, I don't agree
with it. Oh, not this year. You know, he only played 36 games for one. And, you know, I would have – and Henrik Lundqvist being on there and the fact that he didn't even win the Vezina, it shows how little ESPN cares about hockey.
God, don't even get me started. They're just – you know, if it wasn't for Barry Melrose,
oh my God,
I love that guy. That mullet.
That's
those
what I imagine. If I had to imagine what Rear Admiral looks like, I imagine Barry Melrose or something that's like Barry Melrose-esque. And I hope that he like listens to this. I'm sure he's not, but if he's listening to this, I hope he hears it because you, sir, when you talk, you just remind me of Barry Melrose. It's incredible.
Jesus.
Because like, he's got the, you know, Barry Melrose has not a Boston accent, but he's like a hard guy. He's like, oh, you know, they're playing this and this.
Barry Melrose is the man. He knows what's up. And like I said, the way his suits are just phenomenal. But
if I'm going to give best NHL player to anyone, I give it to Martin St. Louis. People don't understand, you know, first of all, he's a UVM alumni. So I got to give him mad props. Second of all, he led the league in points. He won his second career Art Ross trophy. He ranked first in assists. He had 43 assists this season. There were 48 games. He had 60 points. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
He had the second most points per game with 1.25 points per game. You know,
I'm still surprised that the Bruins didn't trade for him.
Sidney Crosby had, you know, he was third in the league in points, second in assists. And, you know, when he's got so many weapons around him, I mean, you got Martin St. Louis, you got Steven Stamkos, you got, you know, Sidney Crosby, you got Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, you know, the list goes on. You have Jerome McGinley for most of the year.
That's the thing. I mean, Sidney Crosby has a supporting cast around him to make him better. Martin St. Louis has one guy.
And the fact that they didn't even have, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky. the winner of the Vezina this year as the one goalie on the list. I just like whatever. It's.
This is the
hockey fan of me just being like, all right, ESPN, like, I watch SportsCenter. I know you guys don't play anything about, you know, there's more NASCAR coverage than NHL coverage.
Yeah.
There's more
tennis coverage than there is.
That's not to knock those sports, but the same.
No, we're not knocking
these
sports.
These are major sports in major cities.
These are, I'm sorry, if I'm pretty sure that most people would choose hockey over watching tennis.
Yes.
Especially, you know what I mean? Like, but yet tennis is on, you know, it's Wimbledon and stuff like that. Tennis is on there and I could care less about it, but that's me.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're talking about a lot of meaningless stuff today. I mean,
it's open forum, everybody. So bear with us.
I'm just saying, no, we're talking about, you know, all-star games and ESPYs, you know, if you win an ESPY, it's kind of a meaningless award. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, you win championships, people care.
Right, right.
You
exactly.
Know, whatever. Yeah.
All right.
That's just my opinion.
13 minutes left in the show, and...
It's time for our favorite section.
Does everybody know what time it is?
Hold on. Let me get the... Oh, here we go. This week's Ass Hat of the Week...
Everybody...
Is?
Ass Hat of the Week is... The Rolling Stone magazine.
Yeah!
Rolling Stone magazine. You and your editors and your photographers and your story writing all deserve a big asshat of the week. Congratulations for being, well, asshats. To disrespect the victims, the four people that have passed away because of this, an entire city, because you want to try to explain why a young man who was, quote unquote, in your words, well liked and turned into a monster, you want to glorify that. I have absolutely 100% zero tolerance for that.
I agree with you. I mean, today alone, a boycott Rolling Stone Facebook page has over 60,000 likes, less than 24 hours after it was created. You know,
me being one of them.
I mean, Twitter is blowing up about this. You know, it's twisted and wrong. If I had to describe it as anything, it's twisted and wrong. And
you. Not you, Scott, but you, Rolling Stone.
I was like, what did I do?
No, Rolling Stone, you, listen, you should know better than that. You're a widely known magazine. You have a lot of power in your hands, and the fact that you could take a story like this and put it on there is just, it's just beyond me. How about, if you really want to do a story, how about you talk about the courageous people getting through their injuries? How about you look at the negative and turn it into some sort of positive situation like most people are trying to do?
Because all these crazy people, they're looking to make a statement. If you reinforce that and you make them have a – like if you keep this guy alive in the media for longer than, you know, he should be, you're letting him take away – you're letting him win more. Like,
that's it.
And
He did a thoughtless act, and his name has been constantly said throughout the media. His face has been plastered all over everywhere, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I don't need to know what he looks like. I don't care what he looks like. He did a vile act. I would much rather move on with my life, and I know – well, I can't speak for the victims and stuff, and I'm sure they want some justice and stuff like that, which they are very, you know, they deserve. They should not be doing this. I can't believe he's on the damn cover of the magazine.
I want to, if I may, read the Mayor Menino mumbles. He wrote a letter.
This is I hope, you know, for anybody who didn't actually get a chance to read this, listen to this, because this is actually really good.
It says, Dear Mr. Wenner, he's the publisher of the Rolling Stone, Your August 3 covers, your August 3rd cover, rewards a terrorist with celebrity treatment. That in itself, this is not what he's saying, that in itself is gross to think about.
Exactly.
To continue, it is ill-conceived at best and reaffirms the terrible message that destruction gains fame for killers and their, quote, causes. There may be valuable journalism behind your sensationalist treatment, though we can't know because almost all of you released it, because almost all you released is the cover. To respond to you in anger is to feed your obvious marketing strategy. So I write to you instead to put focus where you should have, on the brave and strong survivors and on the thousands of people, their friends, families, volunteers, first responders, doctors, nurses, and donors who have come to their side. Among those we lost, those who survived, and those help carry them forward, there are artists and musicians and dancers and writers. They have dreams and plans. They struggle and strive. The survivors of the Boston attacks deserve Rolling Stone cover stories, though I no longer feel that the Rolling Stone deserves them. Sincerely, Thomas Menino. Bam!
That right there, Thomas, Mayor Menino, he's gotten a lot of flack throughout the years.
KJ and Hondo.
He can't say our athletes' names correctly. But you know what?
At the time. He's got a lot of heart, that guy.
He's got a lot of heart. That right there explains exactly what I was just trying to explain myself. To glorify, like, whether the Rolling Stone magazine thinks that they were glorifying him or not, it's not the case. The fact of the matter is you have his face plastered on a cover of a very well-selling magazine, and that in itself is glorifying him, whether you meant to do it or not.
I have a guy who, a state officer, a state trooper, who was a first responder when he was in the boat.
Yep.
He said, with regards to the Rolling Stone cover, as a professional law enforcement officer for 25 years, I believe that the image that was portrayed by Rolling Stone magazine was an insult to any person who has ever worn a uniform of any color or any police organization or military branch and the family members who have ever lost a loved one serving in the line of duty.
Absolutely.
The truth is that glamorizing the face of terror is not just an insult to the family members of those killed in the line of duty. It also could be an incentive to those who may be unstable to do something, you know, to get their face on Rolling Stone magazine. And right. He's got a perfectly good point.
Absolutely he does. Absolutely.
But, you know, and
this is the whole reason why we do this segment, is to basically point out the fact of this. I mean, granted, maybe we're glorifying it ourselves and, you know, it's kind of like old news. Maybe we should stop talking about it. But you know what? No, because the fact that this happened in our city.
Jeff Bauman's, his face should be on the cover, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, listen, they should. I mean, if they really wanted to make an impact, they should have gathered every single one of the victims up and taken a huge group photo and, you know, stated something underneath him like, this will not defeat us. Or,
instead,
you know,
he looks like Bob Dylan on the cover of Rolling Stone. It's ridiculous.
Put that idiot's name next to Bob Dylan, a great American musician.
But I'm just saying that he.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying. I just like
the cover. Just it looks like him. Like it looks like a Bob Dylan-esque photo on Rolling Stone. It looks like this guy is a musician, celebrity. You know, someone who people
yes
look at as right. a, as you know some. It's ridiculous. And you know, the Rolling Stone editors have been trying to, you know, they keep trying to
smooth it over and they try to explain to us why they're doing it. But in fact, the fact of the matter is they need to man up, admit that they were wrong, and change it. That's it. It's as simple as that. They just need to change it. If they change it, then I'm sure people will be like, good for you. You changed it. You admitted that you're wrong. Like, I don't understand why people can't man up these days and just admit when they're wrong. Instead of sticking, you know, if you stick to your guns, that's one thing, but not on a subject like this.
So,
you know?
So in their statement, they claim that the Rolling Stones claim that the cover story we are publishing this week falls within the traditions of journalism and Rolling Stone's longstanding commitment to serious and thoughtful coverage of the most important political and cultural. I thought you were a music. I thought that Rolling Stone was a music magazine. Am I wrong?
If for if anybody gets a chance and they're looking at the Rolling Stone stuff, there's a man by the name of David Draham. I cannot read what he wrote on the air. He's from a band called Disturbed. If you get a chance, find it on Facebook, read it. Very powerful message. And he deserves his status deserves to be read because it's very to the point. And you're talking about a guy that makes millions of dollars for making music, and not once has he ever graced the cover of Rolling Stone. So if you get a chance, read that. And you'll understand what I'm saying.
So I think that Rolling Stone asshat of the week, but Mayor Menino definitely boss of the week.
Without question. Mayor Menino, he stepped up at the right time, and good for him. He just, you know, I don't know what kind of award we could give him. Maybe we could give him
boss of the week. We have a boss of the week and an asshat of the week.
All right, boss of the week then. Okay. Well,
he is our boss. He's the boss, man. And for all the flack he gets, you know, this is one of the best things he could have done.
We'll give him the Golden Boss Award. How's that?
Golden Boss.
Golden Boss. But yeah, man, I don't know. So yeah, Rolling Stone, change your tune. You suck. All right. About 3.5 minutes left to go. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start saying our goodbyes. With that being said, thank you so much for tuning in to another amazing episode of Sports Blogger Radio. I call it amazing because I feel that it was. Whether you don't or not, I'm sorry.
yeah, true. You got it.
sorry for our terrible non-structure.
Well, I mean, if we think about it, there's nothing going on this week. It's an off week. All-star week for MLB and
We actually got to Red Sox talk.
We talked about Red Sox. We talked about the SBs, which are also meaningless, but, like, whatever.
Yeah, so, you know, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to have another Ass Out of the Week next week, I'm sure. You probably won't want to miss that. You know, tune in to, Fan Junkies Radio Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12 p.m. Every Thursday, 8 o'clock, tune in right here.
I want to give a quick shout out.
Absolutely, my man.
I'm going to give a quick shout out to an organization I started working for. It's called Golf Fights Cancer.
Yes.
This is our 10th year that we've been around this year, and since then we've raised almost $3 million. We're a nonprofit organization. You know, we raise funds for cancer-related organizations and families. I don't know about people listening, but I've had someone very close to me pass away from cancer at a very young age, and I inspired me to take this job.
I as well am currently dealing with a very close loved one that is fighting cancer constantly. Peter, I love you, buddy. Stay strong.
So, you know, if you get the chance, you know, go to Golf Fights Cancer on Twitter and Facebook. Check us out. I man the Facebook page right now. We're having a little giveaway. If you can help us name our mascot, we're going to give away some free stuff. Definitely check that out. Go over to Golf Fights Cancer, and it's been amazing. You know, it's only been my first, you know, couple of days at work, but I'm already loving every second of it. I'm attached to it. It's a great cause. I recommend you guys go check it out.
Absolutely. I fully agree. Not to change the subject from that, but just to kind of quickly throw it out there. We got some cool changes coming up. I'm not going to give any details, but
oh yeah, there's exciting stuff that's going to be happening.
Got it. Some exciting stuff that's going to be happening. So stay tuned, guys. I hope you will follow us along the journey. But other than that, find us on Facebook at Sports Blogger. Also find us on Twitter at Sports Blogger. Click that follow button, click that like button, and thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Tune in next week.